Welcome to the Midland Seventh-day Adventist Church. We hope our broadcast will bless you.
Happy Sabbath again, and good morning, church. I was saying during the mission emphasis at Sabbath School that we've been longing to see today. For the past few months when we're still in Africa, and for the past few days when we arrived in Bering Spring in October 13th. And thank God we are here today. Amen. Well, we are Africans, but Midland Church is our home church. We feel at home when we come to Midland. And we are happy, my wife and my two children and I, to be in your midst today. Yesterday when we arrived, the Tate family already gave us the taste of the warm welcome we'll have when we'll be coming here today. And we spoke and stayed long yesterday because we were so happy to see them. And we had to cut it short because we needed to go to bed. And if it were possible, we'd love to see each one of you today, talk with you, and even if possible, visit you at home, because you mean a lot to us. The part you are playing in our teamwork to reach to the Dende is a precious part, a great one. And when we're going through the hard time in Kandi, we felt your prayers. And you also reached to us materially, and we saw how family is important. We thank God for your commitment. And today I want to share a message that will comfort each one of us. Shall we pray? Father in heaven, we thank you for your Sabbath day. We have come to listen to you. We have come to commune with you, to touch you, and Lord, to be blessed by you. We pray that you will be in our different hearts and talk to us in Jesus' name. Amen. I hope this is working. Good. Well, because this is divine service, I will be brief to be on time, and we'll have more to share during, after dinner, after easy lunch? Yeah. After fellowship. Well, it's been long we spoke English, so I hope the Holy Spirit will help me to remember some of the English words. We've been speaking French for the past 24 months, and we only came in the States just on three weeks ago. So we'll try to catch up with English. All right. God is good, isn't it? The text we just read is to share with you how we needed to lean on God because we went through a tough time. And I know the greatest nation on earth, America, is also going through a tough time. And each one of us can associate with different problems, different crises, unrest, violence, losing jobs, illnesses, disease, failure to exams, and all kind of challenges. We can all relate to that. But there is good news today, and with our Lord, there is always good news. Amen? The Lord said in Matthew 11:28, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Then Jesus was addressing the Jews. And I can imagine why Jesus said that. Jews were grown under the weight of their ceremonial laws and their traditional outsiders. And Christ was seeing how it was hard for them to fulfill not only the requirement of God's ordain, like sacrifices for each sin, for each lie. Imagine if you were to come to church after each sin, to offer something, a sacrifice. It can be a sheep, a dove. It will be really burdensome if we are to come to church. Every time we had a sin, it was really hard. So Christ looked at that, at that tradition, and he was telling them that by coming to him and embracing the new system of religion, they could be freed from their burdensome rites and ceremonies. That was Christ's message then. And for us today, in this weary, groaning world, that gentleness, that sweetness is there in the very style of the invitation Christ made to the Jews then. That same invitation is made to us today. All ye that toil and are burdened, hinder to me. Amen. For me, this is one of the sweetest tests I found in the Bible. It shows the willingness of the Lord. And it also tells me that kings on earth, president, and people in high position, great people, they don't easily make themselves available. They're not easy to reach. They are difficult to access to, to have access to them. But Jesus is saying, as King of Kings, Lord of Lords, it is easy to come to him. And that is a wonderful invitation. Because there are some days you really feel that the weight of the world is on your shoulders because of all the challenges you are going through. And you sense that the Lord is pressing you down when you see all these challenges. And we felt that in Kandy. And I'm sure some of you or most of you have related to that when you feel that, well, am I going to make it? Are things going to work out? Is the future going to look different? Last week, a friend of mine was telling me in his lifetime, he has never experienced what America is experiencing today. And I can tell you, it's affecting the whole world. Everybody is affected. If this country has a problem, the whole world has a problem. We are challenged because our monthly support has gone down from 25% to 50%. Some months, we receive only 50% of our monthly support. And many missionaries are having the same challenge. And it's really scary. Individuals are really facing crises they have never experienced in their life. But there is good news with the Lord. Many people in the world before us have experienced that divine promise, the offer of rest in the Lord. And they can witness that that promise is true. When we read in Psalm 52:22, that promise was there. Psalm 52:22, the Lord says, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Amen. We have seen that that promise is true when we cast our burden unto the Lord. I was sharing with the mission emphasis today that our first day in Kandy was really spiritually stressful. We had attacks from different angles. But when we went home for Elmi's deliverance, she went earlier because in Kandy is a so remote place that for us to go to bank, we have to travel about 150 miles for us to go to bank. And for us to see some medical specialists, we have to go about 400 miles. So when Elmi was pregnant 3 months, the first visit we made, we had to go 400 miles to see a gynecologist for the visit. We had a gynecologist in Kandy, but there are he doesn't have good materials to work with, and they were on strike. So that made it worse. So it was really stressful. So we decided that she should go home and stay with her parents. So I stayed in Kandy for 2 months alone. After that, when the due time was closer, baby was due in June. So in May, I went home. But when we were at home, our language helper, who was to do some cultural survey for us, ran into trouble. So they arrested him because he was taking some pictures of critical cultural events, and people said he was a spy. He was betraying their religion, their culture, because he was working for us. And these were just isolated people that had some, extremist understanding of Islam and of our work among the Dandies. So he was kind of cursed in different mosques. He was warned to stop working with us because the little money we were giving him to help us do the work, they told him it was cursed money. So when we were back home, we heard that news that our language helper has been arrested and scared and asked to stop working. And we heard that the tension in town went high. People were kind of hungry against us. And we were wondering if we could ever go back to Kandy to work. So when we came back in July, after being absent in the town for 3 months for me and for 4 months for Elmi, people told us that, well, there are many people in town that are, planning to hurt you physically. So be cautious. Don't go to this place alone. Don't move in this direction. So the first 2 weeks in Kandy, I wasn't sleeping before 3 a.m. I would stay awake the whole night because anything could happen, and it was really stressful. And I did that for 2 weeks. Every night, I would be awake. What could I do? It got to a point that I had to say, God, I can't continue doing this. You have to take control. If you are with us and you protect this house, nothing will happen even if people try to physically arrest us, harm us. So that was our experience. And when I went through this test, I learned 2 things that I would like to share with you this morning. The first thing I learned is companionship with God. That is very important. When Christ says, take my yoke upon you, Christ is saying this essentially. Since a yoke is a device for the sharing of load, Christ is saying, come, let us have the same, when you tie two oxen, so this, you yoke them together, so let's yoke together. And Christ wants to yoke up with us so we are not hooked to the plow alone. So he offers to walk alongside. There can be no lonely furrow and no overbearing burden when we remember to accept his invitation. His yoke is not a load he gives. His yoke is a gift he extends by which he makes our burden bearable. Amen? So that's something wonderful I learned. And I was trying to just picture that image. It means if we undertake a work for God and get out in touch, get out of touch with Him, the sense of responsibility will be overwhelming, crushing. The burden is lightened by the sense of companionship. So when we yoke up with Christ, and because He's all powerful, we can just relax. He will be bearing the weight for two of us. And that is what he's saying essentially when he said, come and take my yoke. My yoke is light. That was wonderful. And Mrs. White confirms this when she says in Testimony Volume 5 in page 487, she says, a life in Christ is a life of restfulness. So when I understood that, I just surrendered everything to God, and I was relaxed. I was no more being awake overnight, and I started sleeping fine because I said, whatever happens, Christ is there, and Christ is in control. So why the worries, the doubts, the tensions? And that is really the question, why all these worries? Our supervisor told me 2 days ago that if we don't reach our goal by January 27, we'll have to expand our visa because we have to be out of this country by January 27. But if we can't reach our goal before then, it means we have to expand our visas. And that was a concern for him and also for us. But Christ is saying we shouldn't worry because once we are with him, he is in control. We've learned so far that God does not hold us responsible for success, but only for faithfulness. And he never gives us more to bear than we can handle as long as we are journeying together with him. That was a great promise. When we've committed our ways to him and done our best as he helped us to see what that is, we can live the outcome with him. Amen. So that is wonderful to know that. It's really a blessing. So the first thing I learned in that test is that experience of yoking with Christ and that companionship. The second thing I learned is submission. And Paul explains this in Philippians 2, verse 5. Submission. Philippians 2, verse 5. So it says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And he explained throughout the rest of the verses. And he says in verse 8, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. So, submission to Christ and to our Lord will not take us to that literal death to the cross, but to the death of self. And when we read in Galatians 2, verse 20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So through the crucifixion of self, that submission to God, we experience the ever-increasing wonder of oneness with Jesus, with the Father, and with the Holy Spirit. So we learn to think as Jesus thinks, to feel as he feels, to love what he loves, to hate what he hates, to rejoice in what brings joy to him. And I tell you, being a frontline missionary, you just need to submit yourself. Because frontline work is just going to the devil's field. And he will try all possible means to get you out of that place. But we've learned that our safety is not only to companionship, to be in companionship with Christ, but to also be submitted to him as he was submitted to his Father. In lifestyle, in prayer, in empathy for hurting people, in compassion for the lost, and in every aspect of service, we need to be totally one with Jesus Christ. The finality is to say, as he said in Matthew 6, verse 10, thy will be done. And an author said, Gordon S.G. said, that word, he called it the greatest petition one can ever offer. And he says, every true prayer comes under those four words, thy will be done. Every true prayer. When we went through all those challenges, Elura was coded just 2 weeks after we arrived, and we had skin infection, we had the roadside robbery, we had the AIDS incident, we had so many challenges just one after the other. And people were saying, won't you consider relocating? Won't you think it would be wise for you to move to another place, to a town where it is more receptive? Because Kandi is known to be the hardest town among the Dendi, where they are really hostile against anything Christian. So people were telling us, why not relocate? Why not move to another place? Are your children not in danger? Is your life not at stake? And we prayed about it, and we said, God, your will be done. We all struggle with self and self-will. But that struggle is made easier by this realization. Oneness with God, submission to his will, and harmony with his will are synonymous with the greatness, joy human being can experience. Christ is inviting us to come and take his yoke. And in coming to him, we must ever come just as we are. Any attempt to clean up our lives first is a fatal mistake. Saving faith is a transaction. We bring the only things we have, a sinful heart, a worried life. In exchange, Christ gives us his righteousness and his hope. We've learned that, Helmi and I. And God has convinced us that we need to stay in Kandi. We will share with you this afternoon how he showed us sign that he wants us to remain in Kandi. Mrs. White says, God's leading brings light. Light that grows brighter and brighter. Through an ongoing submission and obedience to God's leading, his people become a praise in all they have. Testimony, Volume 2, page 125. Isn't that just what we want? Shouldn't we begin each day with a prayer of total submission to Christ? And throughout the day, shouldn't we pray fervently, not only for ourselves, but for believers, for leaders and seekers in the world? Through the grace of Christ, let's separate totally from the sin that weakens the witness of the church and become instruments whom God can use to bring friends and neighbors to our Savior. We've learned to lean on God. And by God's grace, we've learned that when Christ said, come to me, our response should also be, yes, come, Lord, quickly. So we say further, this is not only Christ's cry to you or to us, but as Christian, this is our cry to Christ, come, come. We will be longing for his second advent. We will be saying, come quickly, even so, come, Lord. We will be panting for nearer and closer communion with him as his voice to us is come. Our response to him will be, come, Lord, and abide with me. Come and occupy alone the throne of my heart. Reign there without a rival and consecrate me entirely to thy service. God has been good to us. Even in the hardest part of our time, of our experience in Kandi, we've felt that he was taking the yoke. We were on the same yoke and we were able to bear the burden. We pray that as we continue to team up to reach out to the Dendi, that will be our experience as a church, as people that are committed to work for the second coming of the Lord. From the first moment of our spiritual life until we are ushered into glory, the language of Christ to us will be, come, come unto me. He will always be ahead of us, binding us, follow me, as the soldier follows his captain. He will always go before us to pave our way and clear our path, and we shall hear his animating voice calling us after him all through life. That is our prayer, that we should continue to hear that voice. And in any challenge, in any crisis, in any difficulty, we will remember that Christ is inviting us, that his yoke is light. And once we walk together with him, we always have success. We are always, comforted and sure of victory ahead of us. May God bless us. And thank you again for your prayers for the past 20 months, for your support, your faithful support. And thank you for having our family into your heart. God bless you.
You have been listening to the broadcast from the Midland Seventh-day Adventist Church at 2420 East Ashman in Midland, Michigan. If you are in the area, we cordially invite you to visit our church Saturday mornings. If you're a distance away, we encourage you to continue visiting our website and weekly podcast at midlandsda.org.